Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me and help us hear the voice of truth, as Renee sang, to hear your word, that it would be on the words that I share, that there'd be a deeper understanding and meaning, and that you would personally speak to each heart in this room, that it would make a difference in eternity because we gather together in your presence for your glory, in your name. We pray. Amen. Well, first of all, let me say that anything I have to say is not original with me. It's all out of the book. It's nothing I came up with. And last week, Shay asked me, I asked Shay to pray for me. She said she would, and she did. And she asked me this weekend what I was going to share on, and I replied, hearing from God. And Shay responded by asking, is that your topic or is that what you're hoping for? It's a big deal. My answer is both. That's what I was hoping for and that's what I want to share on. If we could bring up John 9, 24 through 29. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. That's key. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become one of his disciples, do you? They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. Well, while playing basketball years ago with an acquaintance, we were shooting around, and he threw out a kind of a sobering question to me. He asked, what has God been saying to you lately, Bill? My response was honest and embarrassing. I don't know, I said. I guess I really haven't been listening. That began the inner search of a question that gets repeated daily in my life. How about you? Did you ever ask yourself that question? Well, I'll ask you, what has God been saying to you lately? It's a very radical question, to say the least. The question, am I getting some feedback? Or is it my ears? It's a very radical question. The question presumes, number one, that you have a relationship with God that is current, active, engaging, honest, open, and initiated by him. This begs the question and the assumption that the person inquiring already has a current, active, engaging, honest, open relationship with him. So to ask the question, there has to be a relationship with him already. Now, Pat said it this morning in a way that caught my ears. How the heck did all of us get here in this room? From South Africa, from Georgia, from Iowa, from Minnesota, from Orange County, from who knows where, from Chicago. How the heck did we all get together here? I would dare to say that you, everyone in this room, actually heard God speak to you, to yourself. That is radical. Go outside and say that. Just try it. You know what God said to me? And people will go, whoa. Like God speaks to you? Who are you? But we know it inherently. God is talking every day, all the time, 24/7. Nature, the creation speaks. It screams loudly of his existence. And yet we have a personal God that's personally interested in us, that speaks to us every day if we are willing to listen. Now, why did he ask me that question? It was kind of like a pop quiz that I wasn't ready for at all. How do I avoid this awkward situation in the future? Bible, please bail me out, or better yet, God, speak to me. When you're asked a straightforward question, you can't fake it. You can't come up with a quick cliche. It just doesn't work. That's a big question. What's God been speaking to you lately? Let's read a personal letter to a group of people called the Hebrews. This is out of Hebrews 1:1. God, after he spoke long ago, God spoke. After he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now, Scripture has been handed down to us, and we can go to the book, and we can read. And that's one part of our relationship with him. The Scripture was handed down, and we can go back to his very words. Those are the words of God. That's one way in developing and enhancing and maturing in our relationship with him, reading. I keep saying it to myself. Pray without ceasing, read every day, tithe every week, and so on and so on and so on. It's a process. Hearing is from God, and it's fundamental and essential. That's a pretty big deal. Has anyone in this room ever heard from God? Yes, 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 yes. Everyone. That's radical. That is so radical that the God of the universe would speak to you and change your heart and change your life and gather us together today because he spoke to you, because you listened personally and you responded. I always toy with the word responsibility. It's our duty to respond. We have the ability to respond to his voice. And what we do will convey whether we are listening or not. We can hear, listen to your parents, your boss. You can hear him physically, but do you really hear him? I mean, are we listening? It takes action. It takes follow through. It takes participating. It takes us doing something when we hear. If we don't do anything, we didn't hear to begin with. Jesus spoke often to hundreds and even thousands of people at a time, and it was always in parables, so that in seeing they may not see, and in hearing they may not hear. Huh? What's that about? Jesus hid the truth in the parables. Those who were hungry, who were searching, who were looking, got it. There was the package and the prize. A lot of people saw the package. Very few got the prize. The disciples didn't even get it. But then God would reveal the truth to them after he shared with all these people. They would pull him aside and say, hey, what was that thing you were talking about? The sower went out to sow. What was that about? So he breaks it down for them. The disciples got the prize. The people got the package. But the ones who wanted the prize were the ones who were hungry, who were looking, who were searching, who were asking, who knew inherently there was something more to life than what they had experienced. Jesus hid the truth so that we would go after it. And yet at the same time, Scripture says he's not very far away. He's close to us. He's near to us. So if the truth is available to all of us, anytime, any day, anywhere, he is available to share it. How hungry are we? life to me is a parable, and the simple truth is just that. It's the simple truth. There was a pastor that used to come here and share with us, Armin Geswein. He passed away about 10 years ago, and he was a dear friend of Kevin's, and they spent a lot of time together. And whenever Armin would come and share, 100% of the time it was about prayer and a relationship with God. Every single time, because that's who he was. And when you'd stand, I'd stand and have a conversation with him, I always felt like he could see right through me. That there was a depth to this man out of his relationship with the Lord. It wasn't to be condemning, it was convicting me that this man had heard from God. He spent time with God. He spent time before God. He spent time on his knees for other people. He was the real deal. And he was this short little Norwegian man, but he was like TNT to me, powerful. He had a couple sayings. He would always say, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. It's the simple truth. It isn't difficult. The truth is right there. The gold nuggets are right there. He also said everyone should have a red Bible because every Bible should be read. That was one of his. Okay, so we all in this room would agree that God has spoken to each one of us. It's pretty amazing. I think he wants to say something. He wants us to respond to him when he does speak, and it will affect our lives, and it will influence the lives of those around us. Can we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9? And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That's kind of a big kicker. You're telling me that God speaks to you, yet you've never seen him. You're telling me you know him personally, though you've never seen him. That's what will wow the world. How can this God of creation, who seems to be impersonal and off the charts, would take the time to speak to you? And how come you're so special? It's because he loves us, he's forgiven us, he's cared for us, he's reached down to the depths where we were hurting and floundering and hungry and seeking and searching for what we didn't know, and he met us right there. Every heart in this room can respond to God. I could stop right now and we could come up one at a time, 25 words or less. What is God saying to you today? Not historically. If we go back to John 9:24, they were focused on the historical relationship and the traditions of men regarding God. God spoke to Moses, that's good enough to me, good enough for me. Well, that has changed in the new covenant. God has spoken to each one of us personally. That's the difference. They were referring to a relationship that had come and gone and really didn't affect their lives. They were just playing out the game. Now, I confess I've done that at times. I've reverted back to what has God done. I can remember praying for my son Timothy with a fever, and the fever broke, and it wowed me more than it wowed him. I was like ecstatic. Provision out of nowhere. I can tell you story after story where personally God has impacted my life and my heart in ways I could never guess or imagine. And he's personal, he's involved, he's speaking, he's talking, he's interested in us personally. I'd like to share just a couple simple one-liners, little nuggets of truth that I've garnered along the way and picked up that have helped me. And it's not scripture, but it's related to the truth of scripture. And you'll understand. Out of Isaiah, the verse says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because..." Find out his because for you. What's his because for you? Why is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? because blank, fill in the blank. He who has ears to hear will hear, and he has blessed us to be a blessing. Another one, I can't do everything, but I can do something. God has called us individually to do something. In the construction world that I'm in every day, you hear it almost every day. Do something, even if it's wrong, do something. Don't just stand there. Do something, make some effort, sweat, do something. Here's another one. Helping others will in itself give your life purpose. Pretty simple. Can you see God behind that phrase? I remember when we had some long summers and the boys were bored and didn't have much to do and they were complaining. I said, hey, why don't you go over to Rhonda's house and wash your car? That'll give you a purpose. That'll bless her, and you'll come away the giver and happier for the work. Just go do something. Another short one. No talk, no walk. You go, he shows. Okay, what I mean by that, if you're not carrying on a conversation with God, you can't model God in your everyday walk. So if there's no conversation, there's no walk. If you go, he will show. Over and over and over and over again in the Bible, you can read it, God doesn't use a lot of words. He doesn't need to. Almost everyone he encountered, he said, go. One word, two letters, and that was enough. Go. If you go and you follow through on what he's telling you, he'll show up. He'll take care of the stuff that you don't understand, but you have to take steps. You have to go. Rhonda told me this one years and years ago. Find God in every situation. You can. He's there. He's in the midst. What's amazing about God is he will use other people to speak his word to us, and sometimes even your spouse. Ouch. Shay's had some profound things to say to me if I could hear them, and it took a few times for me to hear them. His words have not changed since he spoke the universe into existence. He's pretty consistent. His word goes forth, and it transforms everything, even our very lives. What's he speaking to you lately? A couple personal ones that are close to home. Unforgiveness is fatal, but love is eternal. Forgiveness is an activity of your will, not of your feelings. Kevin said this one a few times, forgive at the level you were injured. If you're injured deeply, forgive deeply. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it enlarges the future. Don't limit God based on your experience or your circumstances. Tom Hernandez just said that when he was here. And look what he's going through with his wife and family. Last year, we spoke for about 6 weeks on the journey. And I wrote down, the journey is more important than the destination, but the journey will determine the destination. So which way are we going? What is God speaking to you? Are we following what he's saying? Believe in him. Believe him in the now, N-O-W, now, capital now. That means the present tense situation we're living in. What are we dealing with? Sickness? Relationships? Children, lack of finances, broken relationships, difficulties. God is speaking ever so loudly if we will stop and listen to him, because those are the things that get our attention. Not the picnics, not the sunny days, not the day on the boat and the wind. And it's not that, it's the difficult times. When your heart moves, do you? When God is speaking to your heart and you go, oh yeah, well, is there anything happening after the oh yeah? Are we doing anything? Are we responding to him? This isn't meant to be condemning. It is a healthy conviction that he so cares for us that he is constantly daily talking to us. Hearing God means you obey or you weren't really listening. Kevin has said this one 100 times. Character counts. The entrance of his word brings light. Our real blessings appear to us in the shapes of pains, losses, and disappointments. Oh, and don't we know? That's where God gets our attention, the pains, the disappointments. The gem cannot be polished without friction, nor man perfected without trials. Time doesn't foster maturity, difficulty does. Anyway, I've got a little story for you. 30 years ago, Kevin and I were out in my garage, which I'd turned into a cabinet shop, and we were talking, and I was a carpenter by day, rough carpenter, and I was a cabinet man evenings and weekends to make up for the money to meet our needs. So I had a little shop set up in the garage, and Kevin just lived down the block, and we spent a lot of time together. And work was slowing down, and I was scrambling to provide for my family. And my family was growing. We just had Timothy, and we were getting a little bit stretched. And I wasn't sure if I should stay in construction or not, so I was asking Kevin for counsel. And you see, my relationship with Kevin, first and foremost, he was my friend, but more than that, he was my pastor. And on top of that, he was a sales manager for a company, and his team was the number one team in the whole nation. And Kevin was leading that team. So I figured, who else to ask? He's got it down. Should I go into sales? I've got a hook right here. Maybe there's an opening. I don't know what to do. I just know I have to provide. After sharing my concerns and uncertainties on what the future would hold and what to do next, Kevin challenged me with these words. He says, Bill, you need to get before God and find out what he wants, and I want you to get back with me in 3 days and tell me what your decision is. Hello. I was so hoping that God was eavesdropping on our conversation, and he was, because that was the fastest 72 hours of my life. I needed more time. This was my life, my family's life. Kevin cares for me and loves me, my best friend, and he's throwing this out to me and putting it on the line, and I have to answer to God, to my family, to Kevin, and to myself. What is God speaking to Bill? Do I have an ongoing relationship that's fresh and current, engaging and active with God, Bill? You can't fake it. You can't fake this one. I was pressed. And after some time, I got back to Kevin in 3 days, and I said, I am convinced this is where God has me. This is what I'm supposed to do. The future doesn't look very good. Work is tailing off. I don't know how to provide. And I won't go into telling you the rest of the story. He opened doors and opportunities to people and places and provisions that I could not even see in my wildest imagination. No idea. But I knew that I knew that I knew that God and I had settled a score. This is what I should do, not knowing what the future would hold. And it wasn't that I had a crystal ball or I knew it was going to turn out better or anything like that. It was just the opposite. I was scared to death. But I felt one thing, and God and I have had this conversation, and I'll share it with you, driving down the road, and when I'm upset and things aren't going so well and I'm telling God what I'm thinking about life, and he would speak to me, as much as I love you, Bill, there's 5 others, I love just as much. So I've got a vested interest, not just in you, but Shay, Megan, Evan, Timothy, Luke. I'm not letting you go down unless you take that path. If you go down, you're taking 5 with you. Now, I'm in the corner. I'm in your corner. I will provide. And you just follow. Don't ask too many questions. Just follow. And that was the process. There's Yogi Berra, for those of you who know Yogi Berra, some of you may not. He was a catcher for the Yankees back in the 60s, but he has a lot of funny sayings, and he used to say, if you come to a fork in the road, pick it up. Actually, a fork in the road, it means, well, it doesn't mean right is wrong and left is right. It just means God has a decision for us to make with what we've got at hand, what we understand, and have the conversation with him. Do I go right or left? And the amazing thing, in our choices, right isn't wrong and left isn't right. Either way we go, to the best of our ability, God will meet us there because he's so much bigger than our feeble minds and our ability to discern sometimes, which way should I go? What should I do? But he's constantly speaking to us. He's constantly interested in our future, though we don't see it. He sees it from the beginning. He's the one that crafted us. He's the one that molded us. He made us. He's got a vested interest in each one of us. So yeah, he cares when you come to a fork in the road. Have the conversation, ask, and then go. Don't stay in the fork. Move. Take a right or take a left. Do something. I've got a poem here I want to read because I'm kind of I love poems. And I think I got that from my mom growing up somewhere along the way. It was in the gene pool, but it's called The Road Less Traveled. Does anybody? Okay, everybody knows that one. That's a good thing. It goes like this, by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that passing there, had worn them both really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no steps had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now, choices you're making, God is in on that. Like Rhonda said, look for God in every situation. He's there. Try to hear. He's speaking. It's a big, radical thought. And to say that out loud, I can remember, and you probably do too, early on in trying to follow Christ, I remember people saying, well, God said this and God said that, and I would always kind of wonder, sounds a little iffy, I don't know if I believe that, I know it's personal, but you're telling me that God said that? It was kind of intimidating because you're putting it out there. If you say God said this, God's word will be tested and it will find out if it comes to pass and if that was the real deal. So to venture out and say, God said that, I would be real intimidated by it. I would hold back. I certainly wouldn't say what God was telling me for the very reason that I had in the past. And after saying it, I felt like I did it. But then I didn't move. My heart didn't move me. His word didn't move me. And I was in self-deception. God spoke to me. I relayed it to someone else. And I thought that was the end of it, as if I had obeyed and followed through on his word. Now, I don't know what you call that or where it comes from, but that's a personal thing. A lot of times I don't want to share because if I put it out there, number one, I have to surrender. I have to be accountable. I have to follow through. And half the time, I think if I said it, I did it. And that ain't the truth. That's not the way it works. So I would hold my cards close to my chest in some regard, and in others, I would just have to say it because I needed the accountability. I needed the help and support to follow through on that word. Otherwise, I never really heard it in the first place. I didn't respond to it. I didn't act it out. It didn't move me. It didn't change a thing in my life. The Word of God is living and active and sharper, and it will do things that we can't do for ourselves. They found, like the parable of the sower, it's about the seed, and the seed being the Word of God, and this is just a sidebar. King Tut, when they went in and got King Tut out of the tomb and all this gold and all these treasures and all this stuff that he was packed away with, well, there were jars, and there were seeds in the jars that they put in with him. Now, these seeds are thousands of years old. They took the seed and watered it, planted it in good soil. Boom. Life is in the seed. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is being spoken to us constantly, personally, and out of reading His Word, and out of interacting with others, encouraging others. It's amazing how God uses each of us to help each other. And it's not about weighing levels of the relationship with God. It's just out of care and concern. God's Word is eternal, everlasting, living, sharper, corrective, encouraging, on and on and on. Adjective, 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 adjective. God's Word is all of that and more. And what that Word will do to our lives, we wouldn't be here today if we hadn't heard God's Word. That's what's so amazing about us having gathered here. God's Word. Is Pat in the room? Did we lose him? There he is. Do you want to make your way up here? I'm going to close, but I wanted to... I wanted to read another poem, and I wanted to say, God has been good. We are proceeding with trying to buy this structure, and it's not about the building, but it's more than that. God has given us houses we didn't build, wells we didn't dig, fields we didn't plant. God has done so much for us, and I just want you to take it to heart, your participation in support of what God wants to do for future generations happens today. What steps we take today will play out 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. So this is bigger than a building. It's about responding to what He said to you and acting on that. It's not to put pressure on you. It's to encourage you to respond to what He's doing. I just want to read this last poem. It's a short one. It's called The Anvil, God's Word. Last eve I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he, and then with a twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, don't you know? And so thought I, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptic blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed. The hammers are gone. Amen.